So hear God's word as we read it from Luke chapter 5. While he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof, a testimony to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I need to get a swig of water because I don't preach as often as I used to, and my voice is not as strong as it used to be. Just bow with me just for a short prayer. Lord, your word is truth, and your word is life. And so we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. In this passage that we read this morning, we learn, and it's probably a reminder for many of us, but it's a critically important reminder, that as we go to Christ to help us and to save us, it's His powerful touch and a touch of blessing and power that heals us completely so that we can and will and we want to obey and follow Him and glorify Him and become a testimony, a proof of His grace to those around us. So I want us to look at this leprous man first, and then we'll look at Christ and what he says and does. First of all, Christ's power and help are acknowledged by this man who is full of leprosy. We need to recognize that it is Jesus Christ, and I think we do, I hope we do, that he is the one who has the help that we need, and that we are the ones who have a desperate need for his help. I think that's what we see in this man and in his meeting with Jesus. This man, we're told, was full of leprosy, covered with leprosy. And he saw Jesus, and the first thing he did was fall to the ground and beg for his help. He knows he needs help because he's covered, full of leprosy. And that word for full or covered is the same word that Luke uses in chapter 4, verse 1, where he writes that Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. And so we ask the question, how full was Christ of God's Spirit? And it's used in John chapter 1, verse 14, that tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. How full was Christ with grace and truth? And the answers are, of course, completely full. He was grace and truth. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's also used in other gospel accounts where we're told that Christ's miracle of the feeding of 4,000 and 5,000, there were 7 baskets and 12 baskets full of bread left over. It was obvious that there was an abundance of bread, and that's the word that Luke uses when he says this man was full, covered with leprosy. You get the picture of this man from head to toe, basically, covered with leprosy. He really was an outcast, and he should have not been there, maybe. We understand the devastation that leprosy was in the time of Jesus. It's a skin disease that destroys the pain sensors so that you really cannot feel pressure or pain. And the person with leprosy would very well lose the sensation of temperature of hot or cold and could easily scratch or puncture his skin and not feel the pain at all. And over a period of time, that would cause the skin in his body to be scratched away. And body parts at times on some people with leprosy would be worn off, scratched off, bitten off, and cause the body to be so dismembered in some people that it was not pleasant at all to look at. And that's why they were to be cast out of the society. Even that's what God had said. You would look at this man and nobody would want to look at him. Why was Jesus there? Today, much has been done to correct this disease, and much of it was through the efforts of a man, a doctor, Roy Falsgraf, who was a resident of Brethren Village, and I had the privilege to know him and to serve him for many years there. So leprosy is no longer the unclean disease that it once was. But in this time with Jesus that we read about, this man covered with leprosy really was an outcast from his society, and God had established that. We know that from the Old Testament passages. In Numbers chapter 5, God says, "Send the people with leprosy outside the camp, so they will not defile the camp where I dwell among them." God didn't want other people to be contaminated with this disease of leprosy by the spittle or the touch or in contact. So get them out of the camp. Keep them away from everybody. Leviticus 13, the person with leprosy had to wear torn clothes. His hair had to be unkempt, covering the lower part of his face and crying out, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me, stay away from me." Living alone outside the camp. That's this man full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. But when he sees Jesus, he recognizes that Jesus is the only one who can really help him. So he does not hesitate at all to bow before him, his face to the ground, and beg for help. The law of God that was against him and drove him away is the same law of God that pointed out to him his need for someone to help him and drove him to this one who could help him and would help him if he was willing. Jesus is the only one who can deliver that complete transformation that he needed. And we need that same complete transformation today as well. This man, a real man in history with Jesus, is also a picture of what we all are in our sinful condition apart from Christ. We read a little bit about that in Romans chapter 1. Before we confess and know Christ as Savior and Lord, we are all outcasts. We're not just covered with the leprosy of sin, but as Paul tells us, we are dead. Dead in our sin. As children of Adam and Eve, we've been cast out also and are objects of God's wrath and judgment. And Paul describes that very clearly and graphically in Ephesians 2, a familiar passage to all of us. I want to just look at that a little bit and read through that. He says we are dead in our transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Apart from Christ, we were living in deadness and transgression, like this man covered with leprosy. That was his home. He was living with it. And Paul says we were living in our deadness of sin and transgressions. That was our home. Following the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, being under the dominion of evil, apart from Christ, that's where we were. And so many times we think, oh, no, it's not that way. We're not that bad. But Paul says, and the Scripture says, yes, we were like this man of leprosy. All of us lived among them, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts by nature, objects of wrath. I think we need to stop sometimes and just reflect on where we once were apart from Christ's grace. Apart from being saved, we were outcasts and dead. And in Colossians 1, Paul tells us we were in the kingdom of darkness, under the rule of the evil one who wants to destroy us. Desperate, could do nothing to save ourselves. Just like that man, covered from head to toe with leprosy. But it's that law of God that condemned us and points out to us our sinfulness and our deadness is the same law that drives us to this one who alone can save us and help us and transform us and clean us completely. And that's what this man experienced. That's why he went to Jesus. He had heard about him probably through performing of other miracles, and he was standing there or lying there. We don't know what he was doing exactly and why he was there, but this Jesus comes along and he falls to the ground and face to the ground and says, Jesus, if you're willing, I beg of you, help me. And Jesus and the disciples and others who were with him were probably saying, Jesus, we shouldn't go near that man. We shouldn't go near him. He's an outcast. You get touch him, you're going to get contaminated yourself. They want to avoid him. But Jesus had to be recognized for who he really is. And this man, covered with leprosy, knew who he was in some way. We don't know exactly how much he knew about Jesus, but he fell before him and said, Lord, Lord, if you are willing. He knew that Jesus was different, recognized a divine power and authority in him. His first act of recognition was that of humble submission and you might even say worship, confessing him as Lord, Lord. It's that divine power that he needed, because it's the only kind of power that could help him and deliver him and clean him of all his leprosy and make him whole. It's that same kind of powerful help that you and I need if we're to be cleansed completely from the inside out of all our sin and all of our deadness. We can't just have a fixed up job and start thinking, oh, we've got it made, we're okay. No, we need a newness, don't we? A complete, thorough cleansing and washing of all of our sin. And only Jesus can give us that. The words this man uses also shows that he recognized the unique power of Christ. Not only did he see Jesus and come to him and bow before him and call him Lord, but he said these words, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. If you will, cleanse me. He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus had the ability. Probably heard of his miracles of healing from other people. But it seems like, as I read this anyway, that he didn't really know if Jesus was going to do it. If you're willing, cleanse me. Maybe Jesus really didn't want to deal with this disease that he had, like all the other people around him, wanted to avoid him. Maybe Jesus was too tired to hear again about problems and sufferings. Maybe Jesus had only power for a limited number of people. Maybe it was just too much for Jesus. But if you're willing, Lord, I know you can, if you're willing, help me, cleanse me. I think there are a lot of people like that today, even. Maybe some here today, I don't know. We know our need. We know God has the power to help us. We may even worship and come to church and call Him Lord. But maybe in the back of our minds, we do wrestle with this question like a lot of people do. Is He really willing to help me? Is my problem, my sin, too big or too small? Is He really interested in me? Maybe the problem is too small and God's too busy with other people. And maybe we think that Christ is too tired. If you're like me, too tired of hearing us again and again and again talk of our problems and our sins and going back to Him and say, Lord, I know you're willing, but here I am again. Maybe we're all like that. He is able, but is He really willing? That's the man. Let's look at Christ, and we see that the answer to that question right away, where Christ displays His power to those who call upon Him in humble faith and submission, and Jesus displays that power right now. We read that He stretched out His hand and touched this unclean man. Luke, who wrote this gospel account, guided by the Spirit of God, uses this phrase, stretched out His hand. Instead of simply saying Jesus touched the man and said the words, I think there's really some striking significance to this phrase as we look at the biblical usage of that phrase, stretched out His hand. The phrase, stretched out His hand, or something very similar to that, is used throughout the Old Testament and some places in the New Testament to indicate the act of authority in judgment or in blessing or salvation upon God's people. In Exodus chapter 6, familiar passage, God tells Moses to let His people know that, quote, I will free you from being slaves, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. In Exodus 7:5, the Lord says, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring my people out. And then we know that when the plagues were sent by God to the Egyptians, Moses stretched out His hand, and the plagues came. And when Moses stretched out His hand over the sea, the water was driven back, and he stretched His hand out again, and the waters came back and destroyed the Egyptian army. Read the same words in the books of Samuel and Chronicles and Jeremiah and others about the outstretched hand or arm of God bringing judgment or blessing. In Ezekiel, several times, chapter 6 and 7, God says, I will stretch out my hand against my enemies, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Philistines, and they will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against them. Ezekiel 20, verses 33 and 34. Gives us further insight into God's outstretched hand, where God tells His chosen people, you say, we want to be like the nations, like the peoples of the world. that what you have in mind, Lord, will never happen. As surely as I live, I will rule over you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath. I will bring you from the nations. I will gather you from the countries with an outstretched arm. And you will know that I am the Lord. So when we see all of this Old Testament history, God is stretching out His hand or His arm to bring judgment upon His enemies and upon evil and to rescue and to protect His people whom He has loved and chosen. So I believe the Spirit of God, who's the author of all of Scripture, was guiding Luke to use this very same phrase to teach us more of who Christ is and what He came to do. When Jesus stretched out His hand to this man covered with leprosy, He was stretching it out to show God's authority and God's power, not to judge the man, but to bring judgment and destruction upon the evil that was upon this man, and to rescue him and deliver him. And that's what we see. Immediately, the man was cleansed. Jesus stretched out His hand to show the authority and power of God to rescue him from the kingdom of Satan and to bring transformation and wholeness to his life. All of Christ's miracles of healing are all a demonstration of God's power over evil and the kingdom of Satan. And Jesus touched this man with His outstretched hand to bless and to deliver him and cleanse him so that the man would know that He is the Lord. And that as we read this ourselves, we'll know that He is the Lord because He has an outstretched hand upon Him and upon us as we bow before Him. When Jesus reaches out and touches us by His Spirit, and frees us from sin, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and guilt, He is, as it were, stretching out His hand and setting us free from the tyranny of the devil and the deadness of our sinfulness. His kingdom has come into our lives. His stretched out hand reaches us and touches us where we are to rescue us from evil. So we'll know, yes, You are the Lord. You are the Lord. We also see that Jesus spoke and said, I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. And with those words, Jesus accepted the man's recognition that he was able and divine and had the power over the disease. Immediately, we're told, the leprosy left the man. Immediately. Only by the power of God and His Word. Completely, thoroughly, no remnant of disease upon him at all. Jesus is willing, my friends, to hear you and to answer you, yes, again and again and again. Your problem, your sin, your relationship, your attitude, your guilt, all of it are not too big or too small for this Jesus. Because He's the Lord. He's the Lord of all. He's willing, He's able. He's God. His Word sets us free. The Word of Christ is powerful. Sharper, we're told, than any double-edged sword, cutting away the filth of our sin, going deeper into our hearts and intentions and motives, and clearing away the grime and the disease of all the sin that has lain there for years, cleansing us thoroughly. His Word shows us how bad we really are. And it drives us again and again back to Him who alone can deliver us and cleanse us. The leprosy left the man. The man was full of leprosy, covered, but at the touch and word of Christ, completely free. A new creation, completely free, welcomed back into the community of God's people. When you and I call out to Jesus for forgiveness, He hears and He drives the sin away. When you're being tempted by the evil one who wants to drive a wedge between you and God and you cry out to Jesus, He hears and He speaks and He drives the evil away and He delivers you. Your sin and problems are not too big or too small, for He is Lord of all. It's a very helpful word, I think, in Matthew 14, verse 31. It's about Jesus with His outstretched hand again. It's a familiar story where the disciples are in their boat at night, being buffeted by the waves and the wind, and Jesus comes walking on the water towards them, and they're terrified, thinking it's a ghost. And Jesus says, "Take courage, it's me." Peter responds, "Okay, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on out." And Jesus says, "Come on out, Peter." So Peter gets out and walks on the water. We know what happens. He took his eyes off Christ because the waves and the water were all around him. And he begins to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And what does Jesus do? Stretched out his hand, same phrase, and brought him up. Do you ever feel like you're sinking at times? Under all the waves and winds of our world, with all the stuff going on all around us. We read about it, we hear about it. It happens to us and our families, our kids, our grandkids, whatever. All this stuff weighs us down. And our own guilt, our own struggles, you know. Lord, help me. He reaches out and He hears us and delivers us. That's the Lord. That's the Lord you confess. That's the Lord who will help and save you. The final thing I want us to say as we look at this passage is the ultimate purpose of Christ's display of power and healing. I think we see it is for the glory of God and a testimony to others. Jesus ordered the cleansed man to say nothing about his healing to anyone, but to show himself to the priest and to offer the appropriate sacrifices according to the law of God. See, Jesus was seeking the glory of his Father in heaven, I believe. He wanted God's law to be obeyed and for the priest to know that he hadn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The law of cleansing was very detailed in Leviticus, and the one cleansed was to offer sacrifices in accordance to those details in order to be right with God and welcomed back into the society and the community. So Jesus ordered the man to follow that law so that the priests would know that Jesus was not going against the law. The time had not yet come for Jesus to completely fulfill those ceremonial laws. That's why he went away and spent time in prayer. Only at his crucifixion would the complete cleansing, the complete, thorough cleansing of all our sin and disease take place, and we would have no need for all the details of those ceremonies anymore, because Christ Jesus himself is our cleansing. He's our ceremony. We go to God not through a ceremony, but we go to God through Jesus Christ. He's the ceremonial law. He's the fulfillment of it all. With Him we are cleansed. And so Jesus wanted this man, or God, to be praised for the man's cleansing. He wants others to see this man, to praise God, and to show himself as a testimony to them. So how about today for you and me? Are we still to not tell anyone what Christ has done? Of course not. Not at all. We are to spread the good news of what Christ has done, because he's done what the ceremonial law can never do. And just like this man covered with leprosy, who was immediately and thoroughly cleansed by the work and words of Jesus, we too are thoroughly cleansed of all our transgressions and unrighteousness because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. He has stretched out his hand with his blessing and his word and has set us free from the dominion and destructive power of sin and evil. So go back to Ephesians 2 and read that and say, that's where I once was. I really was there. But now because of Jesus, I'm out of that kingdom of darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of light. Thanks be to God, I want to be a testimony of his grace. And let people know that that's where they can be too if they are caught in that deadness of sin. They can be rescued and have the kingdom of light around them as well. Others are to see in us the power and blessing and love of Christ. How can we not proclaim his love and grace to all? When God answers your prayers for healing of a physical or spiritual or relational need, testify of his goodness, of God's goodness to you. God still brings healing physically and spiritually. Yes, we are no longer outcasts, full members of the family of God because of Jesus. So my word of encouragement and challenge to myself and to all of us, let us show in word and in deed that Jesus is the Lord. That he not only has cleansed us and set us free, but he's able and willing to do the same for all. For his name's sake. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for touching us by your grace, by your Spirit. And I pray if there is someone here or hearing or watching or listening, that you would reach out your hand and touch that person and they would hear your word of blessing and grace and know the power of your Spirit to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the promises and for this story, again, familiar to all of us, but reminding us of how powerful and how rich in blessing you are. And you've done all of this so that we will know that you are the Lord. We confess you, we follow you. Help us to lay all of our burdens, our sins, our shortcomings before you, so you can wash us clean and remember our sins no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.